We begin the current daf Masech this Chulin daf Samach Zayin. We begin 11 lines down with the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is we were explaining the halacha of the Mishnah regarding the kosher signs of animals and grasshoppers. We spoke regarding fish that requires scales and fins. Now, however, we brought a brisa that said that there's an exception to the rule, and that is shratzim hagedelim b'mayim. If the larvae, if these non-kosher shratzim, if they grew, if they emanated, they originated from the body of water, then it's going to be kosher. However, that's limited, as ultimately the Gemara explained on the top of this Amid, we know it through a klal or prata klal, which is, it says that ba'mayim, in the water, that it's going to be forbidden, and it's only kosher if it has the two signs. But then it says a prat, ba'yam bun nechalim, but this only applies to the seas and to the streams. Then it says again the word ba'mayim, which is chaz of a klal, again the general terminology, like sounding like the prohibition is in any body of water. That's what's known as klal, prat, the klal, which you qualify only that which is similar to the prat, just like the specific mention over there, the seas and the streams are things that are mayim noivim, they have streams of water, so to whatever streams. What's being included in the limitation of requiring the scales and the fins? That's charitzin and eitzin, that's ponds and canals. That's what's prohibited. But what are we excluding from that prohibition? That we're excluding is bayrish shichin ma'aris, when you have pits of water, that they're actually, the larvae is going to be kosher, just like we say regarding when it's in kalem. Which the Gemara asked, well, maybe qualify the prat mefurish, not that it's water that streams, but it's water that's in the ground, and therefore any water that's in the ground would be prohibited, even bayrish shichin ma'aris, and what are we excluding? We'd be excluding kalem. And that the Gemara says, but then what would we need taichlu, which we had explained in the previous stuff? There's an extra word taichlu in the ratio, the Quran, in the beginning of the pasuk. What's that coming to say? That's coming to add something, which is to say that not only are kalem going to be permitted, but even bayrish shichin ma'aris, and therefore here we're going to have a more narrow cloud of the cloud, only what's similar in two aspects, that it's water in the ground and that it has a flow of water, that's what's prohibited, that requires scales and fins, but shratzei mayim that are even in bayrish shichin ma'aris and for sure in kalem are going to be permitted to consume even though they don't have scales and fins. That was the brisa from the previous stuff. And that continues our Gemara, the Beir B'Shmal Tana. They teach the same halacha but from a different angle. And that is, although generally actually Tana Beir B'Shmal, as we know the famous brisa of B'Shmal that we say in Karbanis before Pesukah Dezimra, that he says, Yud Gimel Midrash HaTor Nidrashes Behen, which qualifies with Klal Prat HaKlal, not Ribu Mit Ribu, which is many times mentioned in the Shas, how do we define when you have a general, specific, and then general. However, in this context, he says as follows. He says, B'mayim B'mayim Shteipam. It says, and as we pointed this out in the previous staff, that really, it's not a classic klal prat the klal. You have a klal klal, then a prat. So b'marav amri, he said in the West, that then you make it like it's like you insert it as if it's between them in that sandwich. But the Reis Rabbi Shmuel doesn't say that. They say, since the two klal man near each other, and the specific is actually after them, so in this context, says the Reis Rabbi Shmuel, ain't ze klal prat. You're not going to qualify it as a klal prat the klal. Ela riba mit. This will be the exception to the rule that we actually will qualify it as an inclusionary, and then a exclusionary, and then an inclusionary. And that's actually why the Torah did it that way, that it said the prat not between the two klolim, that you should not expand it as you normally do, as the Brisa B'Shmal holds of klal prat klal. Now, what's the halachic significance of klal prat klal than riba mit riba? Is that the difference is that when we generally expound klal prat klal, so the prat, let's say with a klal prat, not with a klal to end. The prat is the pirush, it's the qualifier of the klal. And that's why when you have a klal prat, it's what's called ein b'chlal el mashav prat. You actually only have what's in the specific, that's qualifying the klal, even something that's similar you wouldn't include. Now, when you add on the second klal after the prat, so that comes to include anything that's at least similar to the prat. But when you expand ribui and miut, the miut is not qualifying the ribui, it's just minimizing it. That you shouldn't say everything is going to be included from the klal and whatever similar. Now, without the second ribui, so and then really we would include everything that's similar to the miut, then the second ribui actually adds on even more to add on everything. So if we're including everything, so what's the miut for? It excludes one thing that's not similar at all, basically, to what we're including, as the Gemara explains this in Sanhedrin of Mem Hei Yom Beis, by the halacha of kol neskal nitlan, which by ribui and miut, that's what you do, is that you're really including everything besides one thing. So says the Brisa of B'Shmal, in this halacha of the halacha of kosher aquatic creatures, which generally requires scales and fins, yet there are exceptions that we're saying with Shratz Magdeel Mamayim, here you're not going to qualify it as a klal prat, rather through ribu emiyat. So how's that going to turn out? So he explains. B'mayim, when it says in water, sounds like this halacha applies to anything in any body of water. That's a ribui, that's inclusionary terminology. B'yam and chalamid, but then it says in the seas and in the streams, well, that's minimizing it. Then b'mayim chazav ribui, then it says again the terminology water that goes back and again includes everything. So you have what's called a ribui amid ribui, including, excluding, and including. So ribui hakol, essentially you're including everything like we said when you have the second ribui. My rabbi, so what are you including? Not just seas and streams, but charitz and b'ne'itz and lisur. You're going to include even the canals and the ponds. They're also going to be in this prohibition of requiring the scales and the fins. Well, my meat, what are we excluding from the prohibition? That's bayrish shichinu aris latera, saying that, oh, but if it's in the pit, stagnant water, even though it's in the ground, that that's going to be permitted. Now, the reason for this is the Gemara is going to shortly explain, because we have an extra word, teichlu, which we already elaborated on in the previous daf, which the Gemara is going to conclude shortly, that, well, if we were also saying that bayrish shichinu aris are prohibited, then what would be the purpose and utility of teichlu, which is coming to include something in its permissibility? Which the Gemara asks right now, Ema say, wait a second, my ribur, what are we including? Generally, we include almost everything. And say, bayrish shichinu aris lisura, that even what's prohibited if it doesn't have scales and fins, are even pits and caves and all these different types of cavities in the ground that have water in it. Well, my meat, what are we excluding from the prohibition? Is meat kalim. If regarding larvae of creatures grew in separated bodies of water in a vessel, that's what's permitted. But how do you know that you see from this riba mid riba that you'll even exclude that it'll be permitted by Boris Chichin Maris? So it's the Gemara, like we just mentioned before, in Kain, Teichlu, Mayhanile. Then what would we be gaining from the extra word, Teichlu? It's obviously coming to include something in the permissibility. Now, that's what the conversation here in the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel is. Since he's expounding it as a ribui amiud, that's why you need this extra word teichlu that we pointed out it's extra from the previous daf to permit the shratzei hamayim in bayreis, because or else it would have been prohibited based on the classic interpretation of ribui amiud ribui, which we basically are including everything in the iser and just excluding one thing, which that would have been kalim. Now, in contrast, if it would have been expounded with a klal prat to klal, then we would not have included bayrus, and therefore we would not have required taichlu to permit that. And the reason for that is because unlike the previous bryce we brought on the top of this amid, which actually said that is what you need taichlu for, the bryce of Rabbi Shmuel holds that it's not the klal abasru that's dafka, which we pointed out in previous daf on top of this amid, what's the difference? It's the first klal, which if the first klal is primary, that means to say that the second klal is not primary, which prat in a klal, if you say the second klal is primary, it's like a prat a klal, really almost including everything. No. It's if the first klal is primary, it's like a klal prat, which basically you're not including much. And the second klal is only something that's really similar on all different angles, which would be only things that not only are bodies of water in the ground, but it has to be even more similar to the seas and to the streams, is that they have streams of water. As we said before, that in the previous daf, that regarding the brice of Rabbi Shmuel, that when they spoke about klal prat by the chagavim, by the grasshoppers, that we're not going to include even if it has a long head from the klal prat, because it has to be totally similar from all angles, and actually that's why we needed sulam, which was an extra word, to include if it has an elongated head. So therefore, it's only that the word teichlu is necessary according to the brice of Rabbi Shmuel because it's ribu miyit, as we said, because here it's not klal prat klal, it's klal prat, so we don't expound the klal prat klal, rather as a ribu miyut viribui, which again, we would really even include in the prohibition bayrish shichinu aris, but the extra word teichlu tells you that no, that's also going to be in the permissibility of the shratzei hamayim. But the Gemara asks, ve'epechano, but maybe I'll say just the exact opposite. Meaning the focus of the Gemara's question is since we're not going with a klal prat a klal, we're not giving a reasoning for the halacha like a regular kena prat. I mean, if you're going with a regular kena prat, we understand why it has to be similar to the specific, which is yam and the chalim. So what's similar? The more similar is for sure what's included, and what would exclude is less similar. Which include more similar is those that have streams of water, and less similar is like Boris Chichamaris. But here we're not coming with that. Here we're coming with a riba mid ribui. So that's seemingly arbitrary, just excluding something. So maybe I would tell you that the extra word toichlu is coming to permit charitzin, the canals, and the ribui of the riba mid ribui that's coming to say it's aser, would actually include what is aser is actually bayrus. How do you know it's that we're including the is of charitzin and excluding bayrus? Says the Gemara, no, k'detani matisya, like matisya had taught. The Tani matisya by Yehudi taught the following braisa. It says, this question, My reisla rabbis barishchich and marisla teir. Where do you see to include in the permissibility, which is that of toichlu, that if they're in stagnant waters in the ground, that they're permitted the shiratzi amayim, the larvae, even though it doesn't have scales and fins as aquatic creatures, ulahitzich haritzim and itzin lisurah, but yet to exclude, and excuse me, the term is exclude, but meaning including the iser of the pasuk by those that have the canals and the ponds. So now he explains. He says, "Mar beni bayrish shichem ma'ariz." Why am I going to include in the permissibility, which we already know, and the Gemara is going to shortly qualify that by kalim that it's for sure permitted, and we're including in that from toichlu something else. I'm going to include those that are pits of water, shehinat surim, which they're contained, they're closed off. There is no ingoing and outgoing of the waters, kekalim, like vessels. So therefore, it's not similar at all to the context of the pasuk of the prohibition, which is yam and nechalim, because yam and nechalim have an intake and outtake, and they have streams. And what will I will exclude from the permissibility will be the canals and the ponds. She'in atzurin kikim. They're not closed off like vessels. Rather, they're more similar to the seas and to the and that are in the pasuk of yam and nechalim, and that's why that's going to be included in the yisur. Now, the Gemara asks regarding the brayse we brought in the previous staff. Bryce had explained when he was talking about this halacha of permitting the shratzi hamayim, even though it doesn't have scales and fins, because there is a pasuk that specifies basically that it's permitted, which that the Bryce had explained is only telling us by kalim, and then there's another pasuk that's unspecified, but it's telling us between the lines that shratzi hamayim are permitted. And the Bryce explains, you would have thought that's also limited to kalim. That's why you have the extra word toichlu to say that, no, it's even by the bayrish shichin ma'aris that the shratzim are going to be permitted. Now, what are these two psukim? There's two psukim that talk about the requirements of snapper v'kaskasa, scales and fins of aquatic creatures to be kosher. One is in the positive, which is the mitzvah say. One's in the negative, is the lois say. It says, whatever has the snapper v'kaskasa, you could eat. And then the pasuk says, next pasuk says, and whatever it doesn't have, you can't eat it. So on that, the Gemara asks, "Hai sasim b'haima furish." Which one is the unspecified, and which one is the specified that the Bryce in the previous staff had said that? Oh, since when by there's one that's unspecified, and there's one that is specified. So by the shratzei amayim, I would have thought since by the one that we know that it's only by kalim, I would have thought the other one's also only by kalim. Oh, that's when you take to say that no, it's even by the bereshit chamaris. Which one is the specified? Which is the unspecified? So actually, pligi baravachar avin is actually machlekes, as the Gemara explains. Chad Amar once says that the pasuk that's talking about yeshloi, the first pasuk that says that if it has scales and fins, that's the one you could eat. That's the one that's called Mefurish. That's the one that explicitly tells us that we could permit Shratzei Amayim without scales and fins, that when they're in the vessels, as we'd expound on the previous staff, because if the way you understand the Pasuk, it's saying that whatever is in this you could eat from the water, whatever has scales and fins in the water, by Yamuk ubinachalim, that are in the seas and in the streams. What the Pasuk is essentially saying, it says, Oysam teichelu, the pasuk ends up, them you could eat. But not if it doesn't have the scales and fins. But the inference is, if it's not in the seas, but rather in vessels, then even if it doesn't have scales and fins, then you could eat it. So it's explicitly telling you this halacha, the permissibility of shratzei amayim. Now, but ve'engloi, the second pasuk, the leisa say, the negative context, when saying if it doesn't have, it's a problem, that's sasim, that's unspecified, that doesn't tell us clearly this idea that the shratzei amayim are going to be permitted if it didn't leave the body of the water. But Bacharam, the other Amir says, no, the other way around. Einloi, the second pasuk that tells you when it doesn't have, it's a problem, that's the one that's mefurish, that's the one that's explicitly telling us the permissibility. V'yeshli, the first book that says that you need to have the scales and the fins, that's the sus, and that's the one that's unspecified in its inference to tell us that the shratzei amayim are permitted in the body of the water. So the Gemara clarifies, my time of the Madama Yeshla Mefurish, what's the reason of the one who says that the first pasuk, that's the one where it's explicit to tell us the permissibility of the Shratzei Amayim? So Amalach will tell you, because Minehu Dukum Mishtari Kalim. It's from that pasuk that we permit the Shratzim that originated in vessels, as we'd explained, because that pasuk is going on the word Aysam, where we're excluding, but if it doesn't have scales and fins, that it's going to be aser. What's that going? What's oisam techelu on the words right before it? It's saying bayamu b'menachalim oisam techelu. So therefore, what it's telling us is that, not, but meaning, but if it doesn't have, then you can't. But the inference is, but that's only Yam and the Chalim, the Pasuk saying. But in Kalim, we're not excluding. In contrast, the second Pasuk that's talking about when it doesn't have scales and fins, which we had said that, yes, from there we learn out that it's going to be permitted. Why? Because it says, Kol Asher Ein Loi, whatever doesn't have scales and fins. So the Pasuk says, B'yam and the Chalim like the Chalim, in the seas and in the streams, you shouldn't eat them. Which the inference is, but in the vessels, you could eat them. The thing is, that's not so explicit in regarding the permissibility of kelim that much. That's why we're calling it sasim, because the prohibition in that pasuk of loisei chelu is not going on the specific. It's not going on that. It's going on where it says the general concept of the pasuk of kol nefesh hachayash b'mayim. That's where it says loisei chelu. That sounds like really it's including all bodies of waters that it's going to be prohibited, even in vessels. It's only us that we expound the pasuk, as the Gemara on the top of the Amud had explained, with a klal prat a klal, where we say that there too, we're going to have two klalim that are near each other after the prat, because it says, b'yam and chalim, which that's the prat, and then it says two klalim, mikol sher tzamayim, mikol nefesh achayim, it says two times two klalim. So that's what we know from klal prat a klal, but that's not so specific, and therefore it's the first one that's called the mefurish, and the second one that's the sasim. So the Gemara asks, my time is Manda Amma, what's the reason the one who says that Einloi, the second pasuk, talks about when it doesn't have scales of fins, that's the first, that's the one that explicitly tells us that in Kalim the Mishratzim are going to be permitted? Says the Gemara, because the Haihu, the Kamachich, Ahayich. It's this pasuk, when it doesn't have, the second pasuk, that actually clarifies for us the first pasuk, the pasuk when it says it has to have scales of fins, that tells us that when it's in Kalim, it's going to be permitted. Why? And this is what we explained on the previous stuff. Because the Ime Hayich, if we only had that first pasuk of the Mitzvah Saseh, of Yeshloi, so Havmina, I would have said that when it says in the pasuk that in the Chalim, in the streams, Oysam Techelu, that's where you could eat the fish that have the scales of fins. So then I would have said, but Bekalim in vessels, the other way around. I would say that Avagav de Isle, even when it has Kaskesis Visnapir, when it has scales of fins, that actually Namiloi Toichil, that even there you can't eat it even when it has the Isam, even when it has the scales and fins. So therefore we would interpret the Pasik, Beyam and Chalim, that when it doesn't have, that then it's going to be a problem. But like we said, but in the Kalim it would always be a problem, even when it has. That's why you need the second Pasik. When it's talking about Einloi, which that reveals that, oh, B'yam and the Cholim, that's where if it doesn't have, it's a problem, which is excluding vessels, it's obviously excluding it from what the context of that second pasuk is, which is regarding the prohibition. Kalim are excluded of the prohibition, not from the permissibility. Again, as we explained in the previous stuff, that's how we know the first pasuk is also coming to permit. And then, yes, we could go ahead and we could say that it's going to permit it even, like we say from the word Techelu, in Barish Chichin Ma'ariz. But that's why this mandam holds that the second one is primary, the Einloi, which is called the Mefurish, which is what tells us the Heta of the Shratzim and Kalim. And then the first Pasuk is the Sasim, which we would think also is only Kalim. The extra word Techelu tells it's even, Barish Chichin Ma'ariz. Now, continuing on this theme regarding the permissibility of Shratzim when they originate in the body of water itself, again, but not in those that have a stream, like the Pasuk tells us it requires then scales and fins. So Rav Huni says, Leilish be'inish, a person should not pour from one vessel to another vessel, shichra, which the beer in Talmudic times was made out of dates, and there was very commonly found worms in the dates. So you shouldn't pour out the beer, bitzavyasa, through a sifter of like chips of wood and thin pieces of straw. He shouldn't do that, b'urta at night time, because what's going to happen is the beer could have worms, but that's okay because it's still in the body of the water itself, which is the beer. But if when you're sifting out, the worm could fall on the piece of straw, you're not going to see it because it's nighttime. And then after it fell onto the straw, it might fall back into the vessel. And tomorrow when you see it, you're going to think, oh, I see the worms are inside, but that's okay. It never left the beer itself to go onto the straw. And the problem is, it's the you would think that, okay, it's the worms of the water that's permitted. However, as the Gemara tells us, no, Dilma Parish Le'el Mitzvyasa. Maybe as you were sifting it, maybe it actually left the beer and went out onto the pieces of chips of wood. And then Vahad Nafal Akasa, then it fell back into the cup. You can be violating the isser of eating a sheretz because once it crawled and went on something else out of the body of water that originated onto the straw, it became a sheretz aretz, and then you'll be violating that isser. So therefore, don't do it at night time. And this halacha, the Gemara says, if that's the case, then b'mananami. Then even not pouring from one vessel to another, even the vessel itself, Dilma parash ladafti d'man, you should have the same concern. Maybe it left from the beer and went into the wall of that vessel. V'hadu nafal l'mana. Maybe then fell back into the vessel. So it should always be prohibited. Says the Gemara, no, hasam hayin revise. That's the way it normally grows. And even if it would go into the wall, it's like it never left the water. And how do I know this concept? Because the Tanya learned in the Braisa, we mentioned the previous stuff. The Braisa said, minayin l'rabbis barish shichem naris, how do we know to include regarding pits and different stagnant bodies of water in the ground? Shasheicha v'sheisim, and the person could just bend down and drink from them. Vein in them, he doesn't have to stop, even though he's drinking worms in the water. Tamalem, that's the Pasuk teaches, toichlu mikol hashabalim, we said the extra word toichlu, tells us to include not only kalim, but even in barish shichem naris. That says the Gemara, but the lechesh dima parish ledafna about the nafal. But how could you drink from the pit of water? Maybe the worm crawled up to the wall of the pit out of the water and fell back in, and then you're going to be over on hasheretz hasheretz al aretz. Ella hain revisa, rather says the Gemara, because that's his normal growth, and it's not considered yet hasheretz al aretz. Hachanam hain revisa, here also in halacha ravuna, if it's in the same cup itself, that wouldn't be a problem, and therefore that would be permitted. It's only when you're pouring from one cup to another, then you're ready, it's going to go onto something else. That would be a problem of hasheretz hasheretz al aretz. So only Rav Chizr Rav Huna, he says, Tandem Sailach, have a Braisa that supports you. The Braisa quotes the pasuk that says, Kol hasheretz hasheretz al aretz. Every crawly creature that crawls on the ground. Kol is inclusionary terminology. Says the Braisa, L'rabbis yafchushin. It's coming to include these type of thin type of gnats that are found in these the jugs of wine. Shasinnan, that if it was filtered out from the wine, that, oh, that's also included in the Issa of Shratzen. Says Rav Chizda, what you see is time of the sinnan. It's only because it was sifted out. Holy sinnan, sorry, if it wasn't sifted out, it's going to be okay. Because we're not concerned if it went on the wall and if it stayed inside, it's okay. But we also see, like your halacha, if it was sifted out, then it would be a problem of hasheretz, hasheretz, ala aretz, like Rav Huna is concerned about going on the chips of wood or the straw when you're sifting it out. Now, kadir on these halachas, Amar Shmuli says, kishus she'etlia, regarding cucumbers that became wormy, as you continue to medbeiz bi'u beha, when it was still attached to the ground. That, says Shmuel, is like a sheretz ha'aretz. And it's the worms that are inside are going to be forbidden to be eaten. Why? Because since they're crawling around in the cucumber, and the cucumber is itself attached to the ground, and it's crawling around there, so asur, mishum ha'sheretz, ha'sheretz ha'aretz. So it's going to be prohibited as a sheretz that crawls on the ground, because it's like it's crawling on the ground, because the cucumber is mechubel l'karka, which is like the karka. But let's say if it became wormy after it was ready to detach, yeah, then it would be permitted until it would leave the airspace of the cucumber itself. When it's attached to the ground, it's like crawling on the ground, and then sasheretz, sasheretz, alaretz. Says the Gemara, le'misayeli, let's say a support for this halach of Shmuel. Why? Because the Tani Chadid, there seems to be a contradiction in Braises. One Braise quotes this pasuk and talks about the sheretz, sasheretz, al ha'aretz, on the ground. So says the Braise, has to be on the ground. Lahitzi es ha'zizin shebadosh. And that excludes the zizin, which are just like yatush and these gnats. It's just that they have different names and different products. On lentils, they're called zizin. That these zizin in the lentils, they're permitted because they didn't crawl on the ground, they just crawled in the lentils itself. And so too, vesayatushim shebeklisim, the gnats that are in the type of legumes which are chickpeas, vetelasha betamar mishabegregris, and the worms that are on the dates and in the figs, that they're permitted because they didn't crawl on the ground, they just crawled in this area where they originated in this product, and therefore it's still permitted. Vetanyidich, yet we learn another brace that quotes the pasuk and says from the word kol, which includes in the Isser, kol hasheretz hasheretz al aretz, l'rabbis, that comes to include what is prohibited, is tala shebeikri zesim, is the worms that are in the stems of the olive, shebeikri gefonim, and that are in the stems of the grapes. Now, my love, idvid beperim, says the Gemara, isn't it talking about, that both these brises are talking about, where the worms got wormy in the dates themselves. Now, so then how do we resolve the contradiction? Why is one saying that the worms are permitted, another one says it's prohibited? Because Vaha b'ibeha, the second Bryce is talking about when it grew, when it was still attached in the ground. That's when it's Aster. That's like Shmuel, because that's like crawling on the ground, even though it never left the fruit. Vaha shalai b'ibeha, the first Bryce is talking about when it wasn't connected to the ground. Then it's permitted as long as it didn't go on the ground, and it wasn't on the ground, it was in the fruit itself. Says Gemara, no, not necessarily right to Shmuel. I could actually tell you, b'ibeha, both of them are talking about that. Even the one that says it's permitted is even when it's still attached to the ground. Because I could tell you, as long as it didn't leave its airspace of the fruit, it's not like it crawled on the ground. And it doesn't support Shmuel. It wouldn't be considered crawling on the ground even when the fruit is attached to the ground. And still, v'lekash, I can still tell you it's not a difficulty. I could tell you, ha, b'peiro, the first Bryce is talking about when is it permitted, when it's in the produce itself. And like we said, even though it's attached to the ground, it does not become asur. Habilana gufa. The second Braisa, however, is talking about not in the fruit itself, but in the tree that the fruit grows on. That's where the worms are. The tree is part of the ground, and that's like crawling on the ground. And as the Gemara actually says, Dekanami, precise reading of the second brisa indicates this answer, because Diktani, we learned in the second brisa that says, Telasha be'ikri zesim, v'shebe'ikri gfanim, says the worms in the root, in the stem of the olive or the grapes. Shema menah, that infers that, like we had rejected the raya, it's not a raya, it's resolved rather one's from under the peri when one is in the ilan, the in the tree. Now, continuing on these halachas of the issa of sheretz ha-sheretz ala'aretz, Bari of Yisr, Yisr had the following question. We know that regarding a fruit that became wormy after it was detached from the ground, so we said according to everyone, then it's permitted, as long as it didn't leave the airspace yet. But on that, Rav Yisr asks, what's a pirsha? Let's say the worm left the fruit itself, and it went down, it fell down onto the ground, but it didn't crawl. Umesa, and then immediately died when it fell. Ma'u wad alacha bi? Do we say that since it didn't go, it didn't move, so it's not shayritz ala aretz, because the word shayritz means like movement, and it didn't move. Or maybe you don't really actually need it to actually move. Similarly, a question is, miktsasimahu, what's if only part of it went on the ground, but not all of it? Do we say miktsas kekuloi, or do we say, no, you need the whole thing to have moved on the ground? Let's say la'avro ha'ilamahu, what's if, let's say, it was detached from the fruit, and it fell into the airspace. But before it fell onto the ground, a person caught it in his mouth and he swallowed it. If you're going to say that if it was removed from the fruit and it fell on the floor and it died, that it's permitted, maybe you could say there it's permitted, like in the previous question we had asked, because it wasn't even able to crawl because it was dead. But maybe when it's alive, when it is able to crawl, it just didn't crawl yet because someone caught it in mid-air and he ate it, maybe then he would be violating Asheretz Asheretz Alaretz because it could crawl on the ground and it's not in the original fruit anymore. So I think Mar take a little stand. It's not clear what the halacha is in these situations. Similar questions, Bayer Vashi says, let's say Lagag Tamara, let's say the worm left from the fruit, inside the fruit, and went up to the roof of the fruit, to the roof of the date. It's on top of the fruit now. Ma, what's the halacha? Do we say that's what's called revise, like we mentioned, Oman Aleph, it's normal growth, and therefore it never really left the fruit itself? Or maybe it's like crawling on something else, because it's not inside anymore, it's now on top of the date, and now it's prohibited. Or another question is, if you say that when it goes up to the top of the date, it is like it's in something else, and it would be prohibited, but let's say legagari nasamau. What would the halacha be since all worms originate from the pit of the fruit, and that's where they grow from? What's if it goes on top of the pit of the date? It's not on top of the date, because maybe you would say that's us. But if it went onto the top of the pit, what would the halacha be? Or let's say mitzmara letzmara. Let's say it didn't even crawl on top of the fruit, but you have two dates that were stuck to each other, and then it burrowed from one date to the other one. Now, what halacha be over there? Do we say that since that's not the original fruit that it grew in, so that would be considered a shayritz, that it moved? Or do you say that no, it needs to go into the airspace of the world, which it didn't? And all these questions are talking about, like we said, regarding the fruits that were already detached from the ground, which everyone generally holds are permitted until it gets onto the ground, or the question is the airspace, or the question is from where it originated. That's where the questions are applying to. It says, it's not clear what halacha is. Continue related halachas on the shratzim. Amar of Sheish Breed of Idi says kokiani, which these are the worms that are found in the liver and in the lungs of animals. Asiri, those worms are prohibited. My time, what's the reason? Because me'ama asu. Those worms are not originally from the animal. These are worms that the animals swallow with the food that they're eating, which originally these were shratzim that crawled on the ground, and they're prohibited shratzim. Now, Maskim L'Ravashi asks, but Ima Alma also, if it's true that these worms that you find inside the liver and the lungs of the animal, if they came from outside, so L'shtakhu Derech Beisarei, then we should find it in the digestive system, that's how it got in through the food that it ate. It shouldn't be found only in the lungs, which is the respiratory system. It should be found in the digestive system. From the fact that you don't find it there, obviously he's saying that it didn't originate from outside, rather inside the animal, and therefore it's permitted. Ikadami, those that say that actually, Amar of Shisha Bari David, he had said, Kukyani Sharu. He had said that these worms are permitted. My time, what's the reason? Because Minei Gavli, they actually originate and grow from the animal itself, and therefore they were never Sheretz Ala Oretz. They never crawled on the ground, therefore they were never bitten. And on that, Amar Ravashi, he said, Pshita, obviously, because the Ima Amakasa, if you would think they came from outside, Lishtaku Derech Beisarei, you should find it in the digestive system, and since you don't, obviously it's from inside the animal, and therefore it was never Sheretz Ala Oretz, and therefore they're still permitted to be eaten with the animal. However, says the Gemara of Hilchas of Halacha is, Kukyani Asiri, no, these worms are actually prohibited. My time, what's the reason? Because it actually doesn't come in. You're right, you don't find it in the digestive tract. But not because it didn't come from outside, because it actually doesn't come in through the food that he eats. We have to suspect that meinim naim ve'aylei ba'usye. When the animal was sleeping, then the worms crawled into its nostrils, and from there it got into the trachea, and from there into the lungs, and so on, and then into the liver, and that's why you don't find the digestive tract, because it didn't come in through that pipe, it came in through the other pipe. I think there's halachas regarding tailam, worms. Says the Gemara, darni de bistra. The worms that are found between the skin and the flesh of animals, when you skin the animal, you find those worms. They're asiri, they're prohibited, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain. Whereas the kavri, those that you find by the fish, they're shari, and also, as the Gemara is going to explain right now, from Ravina. Why? As the Gemara quotes it, Amali Ravina le'ime. Ravina would tell his mother, Ivlili, I want you to mix in for me these worms of the fish inside the fish. Meaning, put them in, but I don't want to see these worms, so because I'm going to get disgusted. So just mix it in, so I don't see it anymore. It's all big one, you know, tuna fish. Fana echel, and I'll eat that dish. However, Amalei Rav Mashar Shabri Devachel Ravina, he asked Ravina, Maishna Mahadatanya, what are these worms in the fish different than from the following brisa? The brisa says, Ves Nevlasim Tishaketsu. And the dead carcasses of the animals, they're considered shekets, they're considered prohibited. One has to eat a properly slaughtered animal. So on that says the brisa, L'rabis esadarnim shebe behema. This comes to include, which the pasuk already said, sheketz yilechem ibsram l'techeluth, but ves nevlosim tishaketsu. It's coming to include also these worms in the animal. So why are animals different than fish? When you see these worms, as we mentioned before, this discrepancy, they're prohibited. And why by fish is it permitted? So Amalei Ravina said to him, Hachi hashta, can you compare the two things? Behema, by an animal, b'shchituhu d'mishtariya. How are you allowed to eat an animal? What's that pasuk talking about? Nevela, that you can't eat a nevela when it wasn't properly slaughtered. How are you allowed to eat an animal? Through slaughtering. Now, Vahani, these worms that grew in the animal before it was slaughtered, you know why they're prohibited? Not because of worms. You're right, they weren't sharitz al aretz. Because of Eir Menachai. Because of their part of the animal that they grew in, which is a living thing which is prohibited to be eaten. And from the fact that the slaughtering of the animal doesn't help for those worms, because those worms have their own distinct life. They're not dependent on the life of the animal. Now, as Rashi points out, although we know that the embryo of an animal is actually permitted with the slaughtering of the mother, that, as the Gemara will tell us in the later daf, that's learned out from an explicit gezeiras hakasa of kol behema teichelu. But over here, where it's not included in that permissibility, b'sirai kaiman. Even when the animal is slaughtered, it retains its issur of eva melechai, because the shechita can't permit it. I will dug him, but by fish, by sifa ba'alma mishtari. You know what permits fish to be eaten? By just gathering it in, by going fishing. There's no slaughtering. There's no prohibition of the eva melechai on the fish. So therefore, vahani koko kavlan. So these worms, when they originate, beter kogavlan, they originate in permissible state. And therefore, that's why they're not prohibited, because we never had a sheretz al-aretz. And the fact that it originated in the fish is also permitted, just like the fish is permitted. It doesn't need shchita, it doesn't have a problem of eva menachai. And that's the difference between fish worms and animal worms. Continuing these halachas, turn about and learn the braisa. It's a pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Yud Alef, pasuk membeis that says, whatever goes on its belly, whatever goes on four legs, whatever has a lot of feet, for all these vermin that crawl on the ground, because they're an abomination for you. So this price expounds this pasuk regarding all the different types of iser shratzen. When it says that goes on its belly, that's a snake which slithers on its stomach. When it says kol ha'ilcha geichen, whatever goes on its belly, l'rabbis ha'shulshul, it's coming to include the earthworm, which is a long worm, which is similar to the snake, which also slithers on its stomach, which these are commonly found in the garbage dumps, and v'sadem l'shulshul, anything that's similar to the earthworm. When it says al arba, on four legs, the akar, that's the scorpion, which also primarily goes on four of its legs. When it says kol ha'ilch, whatever goes, is l'rabbis as ha'chipushes, it comes to include the beetle, v'esadem l'chipushes, anything that's similar to the beetle. And when it says ma'briglaim, that has a lot of legs, zen nadal, this refers to the me'briglaim, which we know is the centipede, which means 100, that it has 100 legs, which has a lot of legs. And when it says ad kol, until it says ad kol ma'briglaim, this inclusionary terminology, is l'rabbis as ha'dem, is including anything that's even similar to the centipede, v'esadem l'dem, anything that's similar to being similar to the centipede. Now, concluding this discussion, the Gemara brings Tanya Lunda Brayas of Yisib ben Damascus Omer. He says, Leviathan, the famous classic behemothian fish, is Dagtarhu. It's a kosher fish, as the Gemara is going to explain, because it has the two qualifications of Snabba Vekaskeses, of scales and fins. Shemak says the Pasuk in Eiv. says, Gaiva, the pride, is in Afiki Maginim, is in the strength of its shield. Tachta, beneath it, is Chadudei Charis, these sharp shards of earthenware. What is this pasuk referring to? Afiki Maginim, the strength of its shields, Elu Kaskasim Shaboy. This refers to its scales, which are close and seal it very tightly, like a shield. And tacht of chidudei charis, beneath it are these shards of earthenware, elu sinapir and shaparechman. This refers to the fins that it swims with, which are sharp, and they cut like a shard of earthenware, which that's what slices through the water with its point, which doesn't stop it from swimming through in the water. Or, simple translation, Rashi says, would be one of, that the chidudei means like of oirim, of light, which is beneath its light, of this, which means basically means to say, in its place are these rays of sun which emanate from the beauty of the Leviathan fish. Hanulach Elotrephus, we shall return to the third parak of Sechtes Chulin, parak Elotrephus, which spoke primarily about Trephus, which is the halacha of being kosher, non-kosher, Trepha, which is has a mortal defect, and like we ended off with this the kosher signs of animals, fish, and grasshoppers.